Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome this morning to our Trinity Sunday, which is also Father's Day. And what I'm doing up here is introducing someone to you that you've heard about for many weeks, and that's our summer intern, Wilson Nicholson. And so I'm going to let him say a few words. He arrived Monday, so I'm going to let him say a few words to you.
Hello, it's nice to meet you all. I am Wilson Nicholson. I am, I guess sort of between my second and third year at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary. I'm originally from San Antonio, Texas. Go Spurs. I am married to Adrian Nicholson. Both Adrian and I have served in the Presbyterian Church in various capacities since graduating from college. I've worked at First Presbyterian Church of Dallas. I've worked at Oak Cliff Presbyterian Church, and am now in seminary. I'm really excited to be working with you all this summer and getting to know each and every one of you. Hopefully every one of you. So that's about me.
Okay, can everyone hear me okay? Excellent. Today, we're going to recognize all fathers here and all men, and I see that most of you have your red or white carnation. What a great touch. You just thought all the ladies get carnations on Mother's Day, right? Well, whoever thought of this, thank you. So, be sure and get this. We will begin with a prayer honoring all men and fathers. We give our thanks, Creator God, for the fathers and father figures in our lives. Parenthood, whether that be a mother or father, does not come with a manual, and reality teaches us that some parents excel while others fail. We ask for your blessings for them all, especially our fathers and all men this day. This Father's Day, we remember the many sacrifices fathers make for their children and families, and the ways, both big and small, they lift children to achieve dreams thought beyond reach. So too, we remember all those who have helped fill the void when fathers pass early or absent. Grandfathers, uncles, brothers and cousins, teachers, pastors, and coaches, and the women of our families. For those who are fathers, we ask for wisdom and humility in the face of the task of parenting. Help them to have patience when times are difficult, wisdom when others can't see the way, strength when it is needed comforting, and love at all times, so that through them we all get a little glimpse of how you feel about us. In your holy name, O God, we pray. Amen.
My name is Clay Brantley, and I'm delighted to be here again. I get to come about once a year, which means you get to hear a full year's worth of sermons and one 45-minute sermon. I'm a member of the Retreat House, which is a spirituality center that is located on the property of St. Barnabas Presbyterian Church. And we have books that we produce. We have a writer's gathering, and out of that writer's gathering, people submit poems and stories. So on behalf of the Retreat House, I would like to present Sherry, who's not here, but you are representing Eastminster Presbyterian Church. So you can be the first to read it and then pass it around. Like I said, it's a collection of poems and stories around the theme of hope. We had one come out at Valentine's Day that was the House of Love. We'll have another one come out in September, the House of Compassion, and then one at Christmas called the House of Joy. So thank you very much. And I hear we're learning a new song.
Yes, that, sir.
And it's 613, O Lord, Our Lord. And Fred's going to explain how this is going to be done.
We're going to have the choir sing it for you first. Then we want you to sing it through, and then, of course, later we'll do it again in the service. And, of course, we don't expect you to be perfect, and if you'll read my column in the coming newsletter for July, you'll see why I say that. All right, here we go.
majestic is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, we praise your name. O Lord, we magnify your name. By the way, by the God, O Lord, our God Almighty.
I draw your attention to the announcements that you will find in your bulletin and in the newsletter. Some prayer requests that have been shared, or my prayer goes out to the lost souls to be healed in God's kingdom, also sickness, suffering, and pain. Hope someone will be touched this morning by God's love. And my prayer goes to all the people that through so much pain out here, out there, and may our Lord be with them through all things they are going through, to know that God will put them in a better place where they are supposed to be. I thank God for everything He has done for His children in this world. And my prayer goes to, yes, please pray for my grandmother who is not in her best health. Her name is Bobby Canada, the good Lord knows. The blessing of Father, Spirit, Son, Holy Trinity, three in one, be in our meeting and in our greeting, and the worship we share and the words of our prayer. The blessing of Father, Spirit, Son, Holy Trinity, three in one, be in our living and in our breathing, that through our hearts and our words, your truth may be heard. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening sentences. Let us praise God, the Creator. Let us worship God, the Savior.
Who is filled with love and compassion, justice and peace.
Let us experience God, the Spirit.
Who fills us with love and eternal life.
Created as stewards of all creation, we know how often we have sunk to depths of faithless living. Yet God looks into our souls and sees the delight of God's heart. Please join me in our prayer confession.
God,
God is still speaking to us.
God continues to be made known
to us in new ways. As we seek to draw closer to others, God draws closer to us. When we forgive others, we are forgiven. When we love, we know that God loves us. Go and live into this good news. Amen.
Let us pray. God, creator of the universe, your voice called out over the deep and darkness and brought forth light. Your voice called out over the waters and brought forth life. Your voice called out over this earth and brought forth our very beings. Your voice continues to call out in our universe and bring new hope and new life. May we hear, listen, and respond to your voice through the gift of Holy Scripture and live as you have created us to live. Amen. This morning's Old Testament reading is Psalms 8. And if you want to follow along in the Bible, Pew Bible, it's going to be on page 492. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger.
Made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Our epistle reading this morning is Romans 5, 1 through 5, and that is going to be on page 155. Romans 5, 1 through 5 speaks to this new unveiling of God and the continued revealing of God in new ways throughout our history, and that God is not finished yet. Hope does not disappoint us because God continues to do a new thing. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God and through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope in the glory of God.
And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
New Testament lesson comes from John 16, verses 12 through 15. We are reminded in this passage from John 16 that God is still speaking. In verse 15, we know that everything belongs to God, belongs to Jesus. And Jesus promises that the Spirit will take what belongs to Jesus and declare it to us. In other words, the Spirit will speak of God in new ways to us. As our knowledge and understanding of who God is continues to unfold through creation, God will continue to surprise us, to do the unexpected, and to be revealed in new ways. Hear these words from Paul. Actually, hear these words from Jesus. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What do you think is the most important day of the church year? Most important day of the church year. Is it Christmas? The day that God enters into this world, becomes flesh, and lives among us. Is that the most important one? Perhaps it's Good Friday, when this Jesus, this one, takes on the brokenness of the world into his very body and dies on a cross on behalf of all humanity, all creation. Or Easter, when God raises Jesus from the dead in a victory over all of that brokenness so that we may be whole and healed. Yes. Maybe it's Pentecost, last Sunday. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that blows and takes this little story that happened in Palestine and Jerusalem and brings it out to the world. Perhaps that's the most important day. Or maybe it's today. Father's Day? I saw that, yeah. Father's Day? No, Trinity Sunday. Trinity. You know, Trinity's not even in the Bible, the word. And it doesn't celebrate any kind of special event that happened yet. Here's what I love about Trinity Sunday. It is the day where all comes together. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, where we get to see God. God the Father, God the Creator, God the one who is above all, who is transcendent, God the Son, the one who was incarnated, who was took on human flesh, God the Spirit, who blows and is in us and with us, even now, the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one unit together. Yeah. Now, Trinity is definitely a mystery, right? It's hard to nail down the different parts of the Trinity. You know, this is the God the Father job, and this is the God the Son job, and this is the Spirit job, but it's not the Father job. It doesn't work that way. With the Son, you don't get one third of God. You get all of God. But it is this mystery of being and seeing and even, you ready? Dancing with God. There was a word that they came up with, the early church fathers, perichoresis, as the way of trying to explain the Trinity, perichoresis, and it means circle, dance. So you have the Father, you have the Son, you have the Holy Spirit. Can you picture them just sort of holding hands in a dance? But it's not simply God, the dancers, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The dance is God. God is the dancers and God is the dance. God is the moving. And we see that throughout the Gospel of John. The Father is in the Son. The Father sends the Son. The Spirit comes down upon the Son. Baptism. The Father and the Son are one. The Son has to leave so that the Spirit can come. The Father and the Son are one in the Spirit. Can you see that movement? Can you see that dance? Or here, this is fun. Theology can be fun. Picture the dance that's happening at Christmas with God the Father. And then the Spirit comes upon Mary. And then Jesus is born. Can you see that movement? Can you see that dance and how that movement is God? Or Good Friday, where Jesus begins by saying, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Can you see that dance? Can you see Jesus on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? That sense of going away, that sense of the dance, that sense of the aloneness, that sense of the brokenness, that's part of the dance. It's part of the divine. And then on Easter, this raising of Jesus from the dead, this new life that's being birth, this brokenness that's being overcome. Can you see that dance? And then Pentecost, what a party that was. Tongues of fire coming down. Disciples speaking languages they knew not how to speak. The dance that happened. I picture Pentecost not simply as the disciples standing up speaking, but moving some. So empowered by the Spirit that there is this joy, there is this hope, this movement that is happening. So I have a proposal for your worship committee and for your session. Trinity Sunday should be Dance Sunday. You think you Presbyterians can pull up? Now you look in your book of order, your directory of worship, dance is an appropriate response to God. It's in there. Trust me. Can you see having one Sunday of the church year dedicated to dance? To a liturgical dance of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that there would be this kind of movement? Surely there is an energizer that exists. Help me out here, Drew. An energizer that exists that can do this movement, that can get us all up into this dance. Because, and this is the most important thing I'm going to say, We are invited to the dance. God crosses that dance floor, looks us square in the eyes, and holds out God's hands and says, "Come on and dance with me. Come." All of creation is a dance. Sometimes you get the chance, go out into nature and just sense the movement that's happening there. Listen to the dance that's unfolding. Now, what makes us humans unique is that we are given the ability to know of the dance. To be able to see, to be able to say, "Yes, God, let's go." Or to say, "You know, I think I'm just going to stay right over here on the sidelines. I get kind of nervous out there on the dance floor." We have choice. And I want to invite you this morning to dance, to move into this dance of God. In fact, I want to say that the life, death, and life again of Jesus Christ is all about our dance. It is all about inviting us into this wonderful circle dance that is God. That we are not left standing on the edge of the dance floor all by ourselves, so that we have to make our way through life alone. But we are invited through the gift of Jesus Christ into this party, into this dance. Yeah, come on. To use Paul's words, we have been justified by faith. Yes. We stand in the grace. Yes. We have peace through Jesus Christ, for whatever is troubling and ailing us in the midst of that dance, yes, we have hope for the glory of God. And do you know what the glory of God looks like? They are out there boogieing up a storm, saying, "Come on, come on." And then you kind of have this wonderful image, right? Just this good life, this hope and this power. Do you know what Paul says next? "And I rejoice in my sufferings. For suffering produces endurance, perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope." That suffering is part of the dance. Huh. Now think about that. Suffering, when invited into the divine dance, terrible though it is, painful though it is, a couple of months ago, I had some dear friends whose 30-year-old son was shot and killed. What's the dance there? But God invites them into the dance, so that suffering can be redeemed and they build endurance, perseverance, strength. Now that takes time, doesn't it? It's not a boom, God's got you. But what my point is, can you feel the movement that God in this holy dance of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would be able to take even a tragedy such as the death of your son from being shot and redeem it? Have holiness come out of it. Endurance, strength. That then produces character. So you bring that endurance, you bring that stick-to-itive, you bring that, I'm showing up again today for another day of life. You bring that endurance and it builds a character. A character of strength, a character of passion, a character that says, God is ever dancing with me. No matter what happens in my life, God has not stopped the dance. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are still moving. Sometimes we boogie, sometimes we do a little slow dance, and sometimes we pour forth grief. But it's all a dance. Suffering produces endurance, perseverance. Perseverance produces character, produces the quality of who we are. And it produces hope. Do you hear what Paul's doing there? The story that I have in the book that I gave to Lewis is a story of my jail ministry, in which we were looking at this passage one time, and an inmate raises his hand, and he says, "Excuse me, are you telling me that hope is not simply given to us, but it is produced?" I said, "Well, now, I haven't studied hope out of all the Bible, but I can speak to Romans 5." And yes, Romans 5, hope is produced. How is hope produced? Here it comes. By showing up to the dance. By saying yes. By saying that, yes, in the midst of my suffering, I will dance. In the midst of my perseverance, I will dance. In the midst of who I am as a quality of a person, my character, I will dance. I will dance because God, the dance, has invited me again to come, come, come. One of the theologians I like to read, I don't remember which one, said, we become the God we worship. The God we worship is who we become. If I believe in a warrior God, and a God that at the end of time is going to come back with some violence and some armies and set things right, then I become a warrior. I believe that the answer to life's problems are as a warrior. If I believe that God is a God who judges, who's keeping a list of the rights and wrongs that I have done, then I go through life as a judge, keeping the rights and wrongs of what other people have done to me. If I believe that God is the possession of the Christian faith, and that all those other faiths don't have God, only me, then I will be a person who will devalue not only other religions, but also the people of those religions. But if I see God as a holy dancer, as one who is constantly reaching out God's hand and saying, come on, dance with me. Come on into life. Come on in the midst of your suffering. Come on in the midst of your perseverance. Come on in the midst of the character. Come on in the midst of who you are right here and right now. Come on. Come on. And then I see life as a dance. So here's the question. I always like giving homework. Who is Eastminster Presbyterian Church being invited to dance with? Now you have the breakfast, right? That's a Saturday morning dance. Don't you have a Sunday morning breakfast? See heads going up there? That's a dance. The question becomes, who is God inviting you, Eastminster Presbyterian Church, and you as individuals, to simply reach out your hands and say, come. Will you dance with me into life, into hope? And it's who God is, I think. Therefore, now you can see that Trinity is by far the most important Sunday of the church year, right? Well, to God be the glory. And let the people say, Amen.
Let us stand as we affirm our faith. You may be seated.
Let us pray. God of the dance, Lord of the dance, your dance is eternal. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Mother, Child, and life giver, with whatever names we have for you. You are God of the dance, the three in one. Oh God, give us eyes to see the dance that is around us in nature, in the moving of the wind, in the greening of the trees, and the bushes, and the songs of the birds. Help us to see this dance. Oh God, help us to see the stories that we know and the movement and the flow of those stories. From Christmas, Transfiguration, of Jesus' movement with his disciples, of Good Friday and of Easter, of Pentecost and Trinity Sunday. Oh God, help us to know that this is an ongoing, eternal dance, a communion that never stops. Oh God, help us to hear the invitation that you give to us to dance. Help us to say yes this day. Help us to move this day. Help us to love you and to glorify you this day. Help us to love those who are gathered in this space and those who are not able to be here and those in this community around the church and those throughout the world. Help us to love. God, we are aware that there are many people for whom the dance of their life is causing them great harm. For many people are alone and they are lost. Their experience of life is that no one loves them. Oh God, help us to reach out in this dance of love and to invite and embrace them. God, you are aware of grandmothers and grandfathers, of mothers and fathers, of children who are sick, who are not doing well. And we pray, O God, for your healing touch upon them. We pray, O God, for those who are in pain, who are in suffering, that they will know there's a place in the dance for them. For those who are having to endure deep moments of grief, of loss, that there's a place in the dance for them. For those who are struggling with who they are and feel so shamed and alone, to remind them that they are loved and there's a place in the dance for them. Oh God, thank you for this church. Thank you for the ministry of this church, for the love that's in this church, and that's spreading out to the community from this church. The energy, the movement of the communion, of the grace, of the hope, of the faith. And God, I too say a special prayer for fathers. For the gifts that they give to us, I say a special prayer for men who are never had children, but who still give of themselves. And we lift them up to you, and we even lift up those who perhaps are grieving for not having children. God, we celebrate this day. We celebrate this day. We pray in the name of the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. The living God is Lord of all. The one who speaks words of hope and joy and peace, however life finds us. May our gifts today show our gratitude and our trust for our triune God who continually works in our lives and in the world. Let us give of our gifts.
Spirit of God, speak from the throne.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your great generosity toward the whole world. You give us guidance and encouragement through your word. Let us find joy by giving with joy to the ministries of this church for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I want to invite you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now that looks like different ways of doing that. It could be a study, it could be a class, it could be conversation, or it could be a dance. It could be the way that you move through life. It could be the way that you embrace life and invite others into life with you. So as you go forth today and as you celebrate Father's Day, we're going to travel from here and go to Marble Falls and spend tonight with my parents. I invite you to love and to embrace, to be filled with grace and mercy, and simply to keep your eyes open for where the invitation comes and whatever form it takes to dance with the Father. And with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And let the people say, Amen.